Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
I got middle child syndrome. They got it right on the Adam Show. You'll think it's easy to play the part, everybody's woe, but I'll burn your ashes right after you fill out your taxes. Don't you know that Wednesday's mini-sode?
Wow.
So got a whole
exciting new day.
A whole new pantheon of songs now.
I'm so excited. I'm sure there's so many songs about Wednesdays.
Unfortunately, probably about 50% of the Monday songs that I used just listed the days of the week. So those are still
honestly
used.
Let's put them back in the repertoire. Let's just say the Monday now. Let's just say the Wednesday now.
Yeah. But I'm sure that there's at least five more songs about Wednesdays. So
yeah, totally.
We're safe for the time being.
I love that.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Whoa, new day of the week for minisodes.
Seriously, shaking it up. Minnesota Wednesday does not have the same ring to it. That alliteration is lost.
Yeah.
A pretty tragic loss, if you ask me. But we do have the fun mirror image of like the M
we
and
do
the
like
W.
Murder Maid, yeah. Man and Wumbo, you know.
Well, one of these. Like
totally.
An upside down hand with three and a right side up hand three.
Totally.
Minnesota Wednesday.
Hell yeah. It's like our version of Vape Nash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Vape Nash who? Minnesota Wednesday, baby.
Yeah, literally.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I am not a part of Vape Nash, but I am a part of Minnesota Wednesday, and I'm also a part of being a mini gleek.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I have only been a part of Vape Nash when my mom is around because she vapes and I want to make those O's. Do you know what I'm saying? Like in high school, I used
the
to try
smoke
so hard.
Rings?
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. And I would like steal her vape and try
like
to make O's.
Gandalf?
Be like, Mom, look, exactly like Gandalf. But I've never bought my own vape, so I'm not really a part of Vape Nash.
So you're like visiting in Vape Nash.
Oh, totally. Like I have like, yep. You know, like, you know how people say like a drunk cigarette doesn't count? Like my mom's
no,
vape
but
doesn't
yes.
count.
I've never heard that, but I believe you that it's a thing that people say.
Oh, wait, it totally is. Like people will party and then like smoke a cigarette and they're like, and I'm like, you don't smoke. And they're like, I don't smoke. And I'm like, I'm watching you smoke. You know who I met the other day?
Who?
I met Merjana too.
Oh, was she in New York?
She was in New York for like a couple of days, yeah. It was
no,
so
was
nice
it?
To meet her. Oh my God.
For anyone wondering, Merjana 2 is... She and our friend Lucas guest starred on... Oh, what episode was that? Season
was
2 Christmas?
Yeah,
yeah, season
Christmas
2's
episode?
Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember them talking about Will wandering the halls of Dalton Academy to find
mm-hmm.
Kurt.
Yeah.
They're the hosts of the Typecasting podcast.
Yes. And we've never met them before in person, but like we really hit it off with Lucas and Merjana too, mm-hmm. to the point where Merjana too and I have been texting, like, you know, like preparing for her coming to New York. And literally I was telling someone that my friend Merjana too was coming to visit. And I, during me telling them that she was coming to visit, I was like, also, we've never met. Oh my God, we've never met. Like, we've truly, and we met, and it was like, I felt like I had known her forever. It was so fun. It was so awesome.
I mean, we had full game nights with them.
I know, like, but like, it's different. Like, I've never really had like internet friends before, you know?
I know.
So it was super cool.
Sure. Well,
we
I'm
like
jealous.
Went to brunch. We got some drinks. It was fun. Yeah.
This is very fun.
I know, it was really fun.
Well, if you're listening, hi, Merjana 2. If you took
hey,
a Merjana cruise.
Hey, Merjana 2. Thanks for coming and visit.
Let me know.
We talked about books. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if a friend took your cruise and didn't tell you?
I see them, like, the last day. They're like, oh, yeah, I was on this cruise. Great job on the shows. Bye. Or they didn't even come and see the shows.
Oh, even worse.
Like, sorry, I was too busy in the casino.
People do that.
I
people go on cruises just to sit in the casino all day long. And I'm like, oh my God.
I was looking at that casino last night thinking exactly that. I thought these people who are dropping hundreds of dollars to just sit in a casino for days, do they know all the stuff that's going on this boat? I understand, like, you visit the casino, but the people who are setting up shop there, like, we got activities on this ship. Are you aware? There's all kinds of stuff going down.
I have, like, never been a good gambler ever, meaning the two times I've ever tried to gamble, my stepdad, who's a great gambler, won $200 and gave it to me so I could get Doc Martens. What a nice guy. And then the next time I just, like, you know, had $20 and then walked away with $0. Maybe, like, 60 cents. Like, something stupid.
If I ever gambled, I would need another person to set a price limit on me, because I know myself and I know my propensity to continue to try something after it's failed over and over again and be like, no, but this is the time it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And I would gamble away my life savings being like, but this is the time that I win the lottery. Oy.
Yeah. If you ever find yourself hanging out with my family, maybe I'll take my family on your cruise. My stepdad is so good at that. He walks in, he like straight up hands everyone $20. Like the one time we went in person, we went to Mesquite. Not at the cruise. We went to Mesquite. He like gave my mom and I $20 in cash and was like, that's what you get. And like, you know, have fun or don't. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think that's how you do it. Is have an amount of money preset that you won't be devastated if you lose, and that's how you keep it fun and you have it not be stressful.
Yeah, because it's like you pay $20 for an activity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also come from a state where gambling is illegal, so I don't know. Gambling.
I think that's every state but Nevada.
At least in my mind, like, the lottery happens here in New York, and like people do like scratch-off tickets.
Oh, yeah.
So that's gambling.
Yeah, there's only six states that don't have a state-run lottery. One of them's Utah. Shoot. Yeah, the only two states that have, like, casinos are Nevada and Louisiana. But then other places have the lottery. You're right. All right.
Do you know what date it is today?
Is it our birthday today?
Yeah. It's our birthday. I'm going to cry. That makes me sad.
Happy birthday, Leah Michelle. Happy birthday, Recovering Gleek. We have literally nothing planned. 2 years old. By the time this drops, it won't be our birthday. But, shoot.
I love our podcast. I'm so sad we can't celebrate together. I think it was totally one of those things, too, where it was like, I thought about how we were going to be together for the podcast birthday and just like kind of put it out of my mind. Oh, I feel so shitty about that. Happy birthday, Recovery.
I know. Happy birthday. I thought about like 2 weeks ago that I was like, oh, we got to contact each other and see if there's like something we want to do for the birthday. And then it just snuck up on us.
That makes me feel so bad.
Hey, here's the deal. This is what I tell myself with my regular birthday. A birthday is just a freaking day.
I know.
This is why
I just like
continue. Sorry.
Oh, no. I just like miss you and like, you know.
No, I wish we were hanging out. Well, I love you and I miss you too. Happy birthday to us.
Yeah. 2 years old. Terrible twos. That's what this is.
Honestly, terrible twos. We're about to be little bitches this coming year. We're going to be whining. We're going to be throwing fits.
2 year-olds are assholes.
We're going to be screaming. We're going to ask for something, and then you'll give it to us, and then we'll go, no! And we'll throw it back at you.
No. You just hold it, and you go, you know, when you see a kid, like, drop their head back and then fall to their knees.
We're going to try and put our hand on a lit stove, and you're going to say we're not allowed to, and then we're going to start crying because you didn't let us put our hand on a lit stove. Shoot.
You're going to, like, not let us pick up poop at the dog park, and we're going to scream. Oh, my God. So crazy.
In a weird, what is the word I'm looking for? serendipitous, that's kind of the word I'm looking for, mm-hmm. but not really. In a weird serendipitous way, this is the most that we can spend our birthday together.
Yeah.
And it worked out that we ended up, this is like the one day that we can have an uninterrupted.
Yeah. Thank God it wasn't like a Tuesday and you were like adrift.
Yo, Tuesdays and Thursdays, my internet is a joke. It's brutal. So we got something going for us.
This is Ian from the future. We recorded this episode on Sunday, August 28th. Our podcast and Leah Michelle's birthday is August 29th. I don't know how we both got that wrong. But we're trying our best out here. I mean, it still is within the last 3 days. So happy birthday to us.
Anyway, let's get into this mini-sode, our birthday mini-sode.
All right, well, happy birthday to us, birthday mini-sode. I hope all of you wishes a happy birthday in this mini-sode.
In this, yeah, totally. Because if you all forgot about our birthday...
We remembered and we've been planning it, so we're going to be pissed off if you forgot.
All right, let's start with... You know when people make their birthdays just a test for all their friends? That's what this is. Nicole, you're up first.
Hi guys, first I wanted to say how much I appreciate this podcast. You guys are so funny, and as a best friend of the podcast, your extra content is some of my absolute favorites. Specifically, the fanfiction episodes made me die of laughter to the point of needing to pause the episode because I couldn't hear what was happening over my laughter. For the most part, I have more or less agreed with everything you guys have said. Season 4 truly has the most hit or miss episodes, with a truly boring overarching plot, when those even exist. For that reason, I'm just going to add my two opinions that seem different than what you guys have said. The first is a very small one, but it really bugs me anytime I see it come up within the episodes. While Blam has some amazing chemistry and I love the focus on friendships over romance, their coming together moment in Makeover has always bugged me. First, the show overemphasizes the point that one is straight and one is gay to the point that I have to roll my eyes hard. Like, I'm sorry, that's not as novel of a concept as Glee seems to think it is. The show also seems determined to other Kurt in this scene so much, and how it is only with straight-passing Blaine that Sam can have a bro relationship with. Sam mentions not ever being close to Kurt because he couldn't relate to him. Like, I'm sorry, throughout season 2, Sam was actively the Glee guy closest to Kurt. Maybe Finn, but that would involve them actually doing something with the fact that they were brothers. From almost singing with him in duets, to beating up Karofsky in Kurt's defense, to Kurt being one of two people to help Sam when he was homeless. Also, throughout all of season 3, Kurt and Sam were living together. Maybe onwards, but it never gets mentioned again. It's a very small thing, and for the most part the Blam relationship works, but it's the overemphasis on the gay thing that really bugs me. Maybe because it's something that never even came up in the earlier season Sam and Kurt relationship. Also, something that I tend to notice about the part of the fandom that ships them is they tend to then bash Kurt in ways that specifically go after the fact that the character is more effeminate with a higher pitched voice. In general, Glee has made Sam more likely in later seasons to say borderline homophobic or racist things for laughs, where before I would pin him as the least likely of the main cast to do so. The second thing that I wanted to add was why I think Glee never could have left the old cast. You guys have mentioned a couple times that it's clear that the show was stuck between the world of New York and the world of Lima, Ohio this season, and they should have just picked one. The part where I disagree with you guys is which one they should have picked. Glee was always going to be screwed when they got to season 4, and the way that they introduced new characters in season 3 really illustrated this. The reason that Glee never could have left the old cast is because of what the old cast represents. Glee is a show about underdogs, and the OG cast of season 1 really illustrates that. This is the cast that went from green newbies to overnight sensations. Nobody knew if the pilot or the front 13 would work, and so the cast felt like true underdogs just making a show they loved. The fact that they came together in a way that I would buy any random two characters of the OG cast as real friends is the reason. The writers have never really known how to flesh out characters without just taking inspiration from the real people. The difference between the season 1 and season 4 cast is that the actors demanded attention and character through their performances and their voice. To be fair, this is absolutely not how characters should be written, but it seems to be what happened. My version of the show would have had all the main characters of season 2 be the same year and end season 3 with the knowledge that new people will fill out the Glee Club, but we don't have to see the writers struggle to capture lightning in a bottle twice. I instead would have had New York be Kurt Santana, Rachel Mercedes, Mike, Tina, and Artie, with Blaine, Quinn, Sam, Finn, and Puck, less Puck, being characters that show up as recurring guest roles and a special episode or two of just their lives in different places. Keep the silly tone of everything being low real stakes but high emotional stakes, and keep Glee a comedy first. The difference in casting was always going to be the difference of taking a chance on something that could be special and specifically trying to be on a hit Fox Network show. This is also why I never think a Glee reboot would legit work for more than one special. So sorry that this is so long. I have a lot of thoughts on the upcoming season and plan to send more emails. Consensually, forehead kisses for both of you, and I hope Ian is living his cruise life dreams. I am also so excited to hear about the 54 Below Glee night. Congrats to Lena, that is super, super exciting. Congrats to Alex as well, but I don't know if he will read this. Thank you for your time, Nicole. P.S. A happy second birthday to your podcast. Of course, I remembered August 28th. Only a horrible person who doesn't care about their podcast would forget it was their birthday until the day of.
It's actually August 29th.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You've passed the test. Also, Alex will listen to this episode, so he will hear that.
Yeah.
I like both your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Going off the Blam one, you're so right.
Literally.
Also, I don't know, going off the Blam one and then also kind of talking about your second one a little bit with the fact that these writers just kind of write what the actors are begging them to write. Like, there's so much hinted at in those in seasons 2 and 3 that you bring up that's like, Sam and Kurt were probably close, especially like you say,
yeah.
He's one of two people that Sam told about being homeless. So, like, obviously they were close, but mm-hmm. then the writers just can't be bothered to develop it because, like, I don't know, maybe they didn't see a ton of chemistry between the two actors. I have no idea, but it's so dumb yeah. that they talk about how Sam was never really close to Kurt when we show that he was one of two people that Sam trusted most in the Glee Club when he was just getting there his first year. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and, like, I totally agree, too. Like, I think we talk a big game about how much we love Blam and how important I do genuinely think it is to see, like, you know, a straight guy being friends with a gay guy. I think that's important to, like, see on a TV show for teens. But it's also like, okay, we get it. Awesome. We know the story. We know what we're watching. Okay, cool. Awesome. Amazing. Okay, great. Yes, definitely. Cool. Thank you so much. You know what I mean? Like, I totally agree. They're just, like, kind of, like, you know, overemphasizing it, like, so much that it's like, okay, this is, like, a lot at this yep. point. Like, we get you think you're doing something good here. Which I do think they're doing something good here, but it's also like, let's, like, pat ourselves on the back, lass.
Yeah. On to your second thought. Now, mm-hmm. in my heart of hearts, do I wish that Glee stayed at McKinley for its whole run and stayed a show about a high school Glee club and about weird performing arts kids? Yes, 100%. However,
yeah.
you make some excellent points here. Yeah. I do think you have great thoughts on how unlikely it would be that Glee would ever capture lightning in a bottle twice with a new cast. And this sentence, I think, is like captures it so perfectly that the people who are auditioning for the pilot were just like auditioning for a big swing. Like, it was a very weird, yeah. like, who knew? I remember we had someone write us one time about how they met Matthew Morrison because, like, they were at a show and Matthew Morrison was, like, sitting the row behind them. And either, like, Matthew talked to their dad or, like, talked to someone else. I don't remember. But it was before Glee had aired and he mentioned that he was, like, in some new pilot for Fox. And he said, I don't know if it's really going to be anything. because like it was a huge risk. And the difference between people auditioning for that and people being like, oh, I want to be on Glee, the hit TV show, like you bring up, Nicole, it's just going to bring a different energy to the cast. It's no longer like, yeah, we're totally all in this together. We're all taking this risk together. Instead, it's like, oh, I'm now a celebrity and I'm successful because I got on this hit TV show.
Yeah, totally.
I think you make great points. Not something I had ever considered. Shoot.
No, I definitely hadn't. So thanks for bringing it up. And thanks for the birthday wishes.
Oh, thank you so much for the birthday wishes, Nicole. It means a lot. It means a lot that you remembered. And also, like you said, kind of the show was built around the cast in the way that specifically like Heather Morris and Naya Rivera were just purposefully trying to get on camera more and making big character choices. And then the writers saw that. Like, so much of these character dynamics were based on the actors and their relationships with each other and them goofing around set and the writers seeing their personalities on set and writing to that. And I think the power dynamics where you are entering from the pilot with the writers, you're all on like a relatively level playing field. Like, yeah, Ryan Murphy has had Nip Tuck, but like that wasn't an incredible success. And so you feel more comfortable like showing your personality on set and making big choices on camera. Whereas you come into season four, you're now working for Ryan Murphy of Glee and American Horror Story fame. And you, right. I imagine I at least would feel like, oh, I need to behave and like sit down and shut up. And it would be harder to really give the writers a reason to write for you, because I'd be so worried that I was like gonna get fired at any moment.
Or even the opposite, you would feel like you have to like show off to these like huge execs who like, you know, have a lot of power.
Yeah.
And that like causes like, you know, like fighting within like the workplace. I never thought about it. Nicole, thanks so much for this message. Thanks so much for the birthday messages. Oh my gosh. Up next we have a message from Sophie.
Hi, Mini Gleeks. First and foremost, happy birthday. August 28th, your second birthday. How could I forget?
August 29th.
I can't believe we're at the end of season four already, and I can't believe you mentioned all the way back during the new Rachel or Britney 2.0 that Blaine and Marley might just sing more than Rachel this season. I've been waiting to send you some singing statistics since then, and holy hell, suddenly 20 weeks have passed. More than 20 weeks now, Sophie. We took a little hiatus. Yeah. Crazy, but here we finally are. Before I share some Glee stats with you, I just wanted to quickly say that I love that you like the Britney plot in All or Nothing as much as I did. I so agree with Lena that validating Britney's unique way of thinking and saying that no, she is smart and she shouldn't have been put down by others is so important. Sure, it's done in a whimsical way, sort of way that fits Brit's character, but she finally gets a storyline that centers her and highlights what makes her a true unicorn. I know the genius reveal is polarizing, but I think we should take it in a lighthearted way, like we should Brit's character in general, and when we do that, there's a lot of heart and fun, but also some validating wholesomeness in this story. I love that Britney gets to say, no, actually, I am smart and always have been. Anyway, I could go on, but you get it. Now that you listen to me gush, let me hit you with some glats. I'll post this on the subreddit if I remember to. Sophie, this is your reminder to post this on the subreddit. First things first, these are all based on the number of performances the character had this season, so not adjusted for solos, duets, etc. But it's still telling. In a nutshell, you were right. Blaine and Marley are both the new Rachel, and that they both sing more this season than she does, a feat achieved by no one else in the entire series. All in all, here are most of the characters ranked by the number of songs. And then, of course, here, Sophie has a graph. We can't give you play-by-play. Check the subreddit if you want to see the play-by-play. Here are some highlights. Blaine, in total, has...
I can also post it on the Instagram
story. Oh, yeah. We also...
Or the Twitter,
Too. I might also just put it in the Instagram post. Actually, check our Instagram.
That works, too.
Some highlights. Blaine has 35 features total. As Sophie said, this is not adjusted for solos and duets, so this includes like group numbers he's in. He has 35 performances total this season. Marley has 30. Rachel has only 23. So Blaine's got her beat by 12 performances. I want to highlight a few interesting bits that you could maybe use to summarize this if you choose to include this in the minisode. Blaine still doesn't sing more than Rachel does in any other season, excluding the significantly shorter season 6, so it's really more about Rachel singing less than him singing exceptionally much. Rachel sings more than 35 times in the other seasons. That's bonkers.
Like, why?
How? Blaine and Marley are, however, significantly ahead of Rachel, so much so that even Marley sings as much as Rachel's number of songs and Mercedes combined plus 2. Speaking of, this is by far Mercedes' worst season, and the only season where she doesn't average at least one song per appearance. Rachel technically sings in as many songs as Sam and Jake, but has more solos and duets. In terms of average number of songs per episode, this is Rachel's worst season, even adjusted for the number of episodes she missed, which is bonkers because she still averages more than one song per episode. This is the only season in which Britney sings more than Santana, but Santana still sings more than OG New Directions members and still students Tina and Artie. Now to see how the New Directions members versus the graduates do if we do a pie chart of their number of songs. So first off, Sophie has a pie chart showing what percentage of the features are sung by which current New Directions member. Blaine dominates with 17%, but otherwise it's a relatively gradual decline until we get to Jim, Joe, with 5 songs and 2.4% of the features. Now she has another pie chart with all the graduates. Things are more disproportionate with the graduates, just as the screen time is. The Hummelberries' share is exactly 50%, and the eventual main four, Rachel, Kurt, Santana, Finn, sweep with more than 80% of the features. Oh, that is crazy.
Whoa.
Now she has a graph that shows everyone's average of how many songs per episode. Everyone until Sam, which would be Blaine, Marley, Quinn, Ryder, Rachel, Santana, and Jake, and Sam, average at least one song per episode. Blaine and Marley are the top two from this perspective as well, but then in third place is our special guest star, Queen Bee Quinn. We can see that even Ryder is ahead of Rachel in this sense, and Santana close behind, who missed many episodes but had her fair share in the one she was in. Other things to note, despite her very few songs, Mercedes was still better off relatively than Tina or Artie. God, Tina and Artie get so screwed. Kitty was the most ignored newbie in this sense. Puck is the least well-featured graduate, apart from Mike, who had just one song, and Will really didn't sing much. And then she has one final graph that compares everyone's features this season compared to how much they were featured in season 3. Da-da-da-da-da. This one shows that Blaine had a spike in about 8 more features this season. Brittany had a spike in about 3 more features this season. Sam had a spike in like 13 more features this season. The most drastic downgrades are those of the graduates who cease to be actual main cast members, even if they are on paper, and of course Quinn. Also notable that Tina actually sang more overall in season 3 than she did in season 4. And Finn went from a huge drop of 24 features in season 3 to only 10 in season 4. That is all for now, I think. I've been wanting to send this in for so long, but I think it's fitting that I should do it just as you wrap up season 4. I hope you found this at least half as fun as I did, and I'm hoping to bring some more stats to you soon. All the best, Spreadsheet Sophie, she, her. Sophie,
I love a spreadsheet.
Thank you so much for this. Everyone, check out our Instagram to see the actual charts as we talk about them. But this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Specifically interesting that Tina sang more in season 3, which I mean is because she's in so many more group numbers. But I always think of like season 4 is like the season when they actually do something
like
with
her
Tina.
Shine. Yeah,
truly. The heartbreak that Kevin McHale and especially Jenna Ushkowitz must have gone through, that they have been in the background for 3 seasons, and they're like, well, now all these scene stealers are finally leaving the McKinley plot lines, so we're going to get our time to shine. And the writer said, no, you're still going to be the least featured members of this cast. We're just going to replace you with new people. In the pie chart where Sophie shows how much each member of the New Directions has percentage-wise of the features, Artie, who's an original member, only has 5.3%. Tina only has 5.8%. Whereas Blaine and Marley, who both were introduced to this cast after them, have around 15%. Like three times as many as they do.
I can't even deal.
Artie is literally second to last above only Joe. Joe is the only person who percentage-wise had less features than him in that club. And of course, Sugar, who didn't even make the list. But shoot!
Right. Sophie, thank you for sending us this message. Thank you for putting all of this into graphs. I love visual math. Oh my gosh. And I can't wait for other people to see this as well. It is some wild info, and I really appreciate you putting it together for us.
Yeah, I am a visual learner, so that was very helpful.
Yeah, totally, totally. Up next, we have a message from Melissa.
Dearest Thornstorm and real-life friend of Joe Boblingo, both references to our episode on the Grinch. Everyone check it out.
Great episode.
Melissa Shidey from Chicago here again. After starting the podcast in June 2022, I have finally caught up on the live episodes. Well, Melissa, props to you. You really dove in, girl.
Yeah, literally. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I am shocked that no one has pointed out how much Tina's jingle resembles the Cynthia's workout jingle from the Rugrats episode, Angelica's Lake. Anyways, I just wanted to say this pod has been a shining light during season 3 of The World Living in Satan's Asshole in the final and ninth circle of Dante's Inferno, aka The Bad Place. Consensual forehead kisses if you want them, and happy birthday, August 28th, I would never forget.
August 29th!
Melissa. Melissa, kudos to you for listening to our entire podcast in record time.
Yeah, whoa. Holy moly.
And also, this is such an incredibly specific reference for you to be like,
I literally
the fact that it's not like, you know, that song that was in Rugrats all the time, like, no, the jingle for the Cynthia doll that is in exactly one episode of Rugrats, Angelica's Lake. However, I gotta give it up to you, girl, it sounds a lot similar. So for all of you out there who don't know what Cynthia's jingle sounds like, which I didn't before this morning because I've either never seen this episode or I forgot what the song sounded like.
Yeah.
Let's give it a listen.
Because I was a Rugrat age when Rugrats was on.
Tina Cohen Chang, that did you so wrong, Tina Cohen Chang. It's not exact.
Honestly.
But it's
pretty similar.
It's about as close as leaving on a jet plane is. It's, you know, it's a little eerie.
Pretty eerie.
So, shoot. Really open our eyes on this one. Cynthia, she's a really cool dancer. Cynthia, boogie to the groove now.
Boogie to the groove now. And what's it like? Shake it, you're made of plastic? Oh my God. That song is wild. You guys need to look it up. Melissa, I'm so glad that you pointed this out to us. Honestly, I don't know how I went this long without this information. So thanks so much for sending it to us. And also, thank you so much for the birthday messages. I really appreciate it. Happy number two. Melissa, have such a good day. Thank you. Up next, we have a message from Miranda.
Hey besties, it's been a while since I've listened to you both. Life got hectic and interrupted my normal podcast times, and I'm sorry to say I haven't tuned in since April. This summer has been full of stress and anxiety for me and for so many of us here in the US. And to make it worse, now that I finally have some free time, I've been spending it consuming the nonstop negative news cycle and watching videos explaining how fucked up the world is. Today, I went to turn on my usual stress-inducing content, but decided to give my mental health a break and pick up where I left off on your podcast. It's hard to tear away from social media, and I truly believe that negative content is addictive, so it took more effort than it should have to spend my evening with you two, but I'm so grateful I did, because I'd nearly forgotten how much happiness it brings me. Your relentless positivity and kindness has such a big impact, not just on me, but on so many. I don't have much to say besides thank you, truly, for being such amazing, beautiful people who bring joy to every one of your listeners. Glad to be back and to celebrate your birthday with you, August 28th.
29th!
Miranda from Kansas.
Miranda, this message means a lot to me. I, like, genuinely appreciate it. I, like, this summer has been wild on, like, every account, and I feel like every single person I know is, like, just, like, in the thick of it, I swear. And when people say that, like, they find just, like, God, a minute of peace, like, listening to the podcast, that means so much to me. I just really, I really appreciate you saying that, so thank you for sending it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Miranda. That is truly, like, my biggest wish for this podcast is just, you know, because, I mean, like you said, a lot of us are there right now. As Melissa said, we're in the third season of being in Satan's asshole right now. But everyone's been there at some point in their life where, like, things are crappy and you just need something to distract you for a little bit. And, like, if this podcast is that for some people, it truly means the world to us. Like, that is more than I could ever wish for. I'm so happy and, like, grateful that we can provide some solace to you. So thank you so much for reaching out and letting us know. Very glad to have you back. You know?
Yeah.
Shoot, if you get busy and you stop listening, that's okay. We just care if that you come back eventually. That you just peek your head in and see how we're doing.
I know. You're always welcome back. That's a thing. People mention to us all the time, like, you know, life gets busy. Life gets crazy. Like, if I would be lying if I said that I kept up with all the things that I love when my life gets busy. Like, that's not the case. Like, it doesn't mean I don't, like, you know, care about it. It just means, like, life is crazy. And so, like, you don't have to apologize to us for that. But we are so grateful to have you back. You're welcome back whenever. You have free reign. We love you. We want you back when you're here. And when you're not here, you know, you take your time. But Miranda, I really appreciate this message. And everyone, thanks for celebrating our birthday with us. If it wasn't the birthday celebration, I would have planned. But we didn't plan anything. It totally feels like we're parents and we forgot our child's birthday. That's how it feels. Like, it feels so shitty.
Our podcast is going to...
It feels so bad.
Our podcast is going to have to go to severe therapy for this. It's going to be...
So, for real.
In 20 years, the therapist is going to be like, so, where do you think your feelings of being overlooked and not a priority come from? It's going to be like, well...
Probably my mom and dad forgetting my second birthday.
When I was 2 years old, my parents forgot my birthday, so... And then they made a mockery of it by pretending that everyone was celebrating my birthday by adding statements to all their emails, which just rubbed it in my face.
Yeah.
And then when they remembered my birthday, they still got the day wrong.
Well, Recovering Gleek, we love you. I'm sorry I forgot your birthday. Sorry, I'm like, that like makes me really emotional. Whoa, I also have the plague, you guys. I don't feel good.
She got the bubonic plague.
I don't have the plague. I just have a cold. Anyway.
A bubonic cold.
I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you so much. So grateful to have you here. Truly, you know, 2 years ago, this podcast was born out of depression and boredom.
Yeah.
I remember, shoot, here's how we celebrate our birthday. 3 days after the fact when this drops. I wish I had this journal with me. I literally wrote about it in my journal. And maybe we've talked about this before, but we did this podcast really because we needed something to do. And I'm not going to lie, there was like a secret part of me that hoped that it would like become a thing and that strangers would listen to it.
Yeah.
But my rational brain was like, some of your friends are going to listen to it and mostly it's just going to be you and Lena's pet project. And I also had like people in my life be like, so who are you making this for? And I was like, I don't know, myself.
Myself.
And I remember we posted that first TikTok on... whatever day that was, probably like August 25th, August 26th.
Yeah, probably.
And it, for us at the time, exploded. It got like 10,000 views in the first like 6 hours that it was up. And I remember...
Yeah. Got like 1,000 mm-hmm. likes. I was like, oh my God, I'm
seriously
famous.
And I remember Lena and I were texting each other back and forth like, this is so insane. I was seriously, we were like, we're going to remember this night for the rest of our lives. Like the night that our TikTok...
And we do.
That our TikTok went viral. Yeah, we were right. It's over 2 years later and we still remember. I literally remember where I was. I was... having dinner at my college roommate, his family, he was from the town that we went to college in. And so his family lived like, I don't know, like 35 minutes away. And I was having dinner with his family and kept having to excuse myself from the table so that I could check TikTok to see how many views it had.
Oh my God.
But it was so thrilling and so exciting. And just like those early days when we had like a handful of listeners who we didn't know, who we would like interact with on Twitter and interact with on Instagram, and to see it grow to what it is now, and that we have like a Patreon and we have all those wonderful people and we have a like great Discord community where people have like found friendships through that, and we get enough emails that we can do these minisodes, and it's just such a huge blessing. And it's been very... And even if we forgot the second birthday, it has been a very exciting and gratifying 2 years to see this podcast grow from, you know, Lena and her parents' house, me and my parents' house, sitting on the floor with our $30 microphones, literally teaching ourselves how to podcast, to where we are now. So thank you all for being here. And here's to two more. Just two more. We're ending it after 4 years.
Yeah, that's the cap.
Not after Glee, after 4 years. So however far we are and whatever content we cover next, we're pulling the plug. That's it.
Yeah, totally. I don't care what we're doing. But thank you all for listening today. Fun birthday celebration. So fun, so exciting. We will see you guys back here next week. Remember, we're doing one podcast a week now that Ian is on his cruise. But we're going to start season 5 next week. Are you so excited? I'm so excited.
It didn't hit me until you said that we're finally going to talk about season 5.
I'm so excited.
I cannot wait. I have been wanting to talk about season 5 since we started this thing.
Me too. It'll be fun.
Oh man, buckle up, baby.
But y'all get excited. I'm excited. We will see you then. Happy birthday to you all as well. Of course, this is like a couple days later, but happy birthday. We love you. We're so happy you're listening.
For real.
Here is a second birthday kiss on your second birthday forehead. Oh my God, we're 2 years old, you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.